I'll just start it up. Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It's been a little bit. It's been a couple weeks now, but we are back. We have three games to talk about. We have a win to talk about. This is Season 5, Episode 17. We'll have a lot of stuff to talk about here, a lot of games to talk about. Honestly, a lot of good basketball. One very, very bad half of basketball, but other than that, probably about five good to great halves of basketball, which is fun to talk about. There's some new lineups. There's some players who have really stepped up. There are some players who maybe had a couple bumps along the road, but now seem to be back on track. We'll just kind of talk about the past three games and what caught our eye and what we can look for going forward. But Lou, I know we were in the building for that last win, and I believe that was your first A-10 home win. So how you feeling after the win against, why am I drawing a blank right now?
George Mason. Yeah, oh, I can fill gosh. That in. Yeah, it was a very nice win. Like, it's just a very nice win. And it felt like it just kind of felt like a little bit old style a few years ago basketball, even consistent of last year's kind of DNA. But, yeah. It was very nice to see a win. Again, the student section, I think, was great. There was one point where we got very, very loud because, again, the student section fed off, and even the fans fed off the performance of the players, and there was a big play, and then we was like, okay, we're fighting still, and we're going to still fight in the stands. So I think that was great for sure. But, yeah, great to get my first A-10 win in person for me, and sadly I had to miss the St. Bonnie's game. Absolutely great. I'm very excited, and hopefully we see more this coming Wednesday.
That would be pretty sweet if we could get another win. I don't want to act too spoiled here, but man, two wins in a row, that sounds like luxury.
It sounds like it'd be a very nice thing to have. That's what it was.
That is for sure, yeah. It was a good win. It was fun to see the guys having fun out there, man. That was really cool. We'll talk a little bit. There's a couple points I want to talk about that we were on. Scott's halftime show last week. So there's some things that I mentioned, I think both of us mentioned, and they end up coming true. So we will talk about that and a lot more when we come back. So thank you for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh! We won 60-58.
And we are back. What I was referring to, I won't bury the lead here. What I was referring to about what we talked about, and we think we talked about on our last episode too, is just like, A, want to see the guys have fun, right? I felt like that had been a little drained from the program recently. I mentioned, I know I specifically did on during Scott's halftime show, well, I just want to see the team compete, right? Like some close games would just be awesome. Like, for us as fans, it's one thing to, like, lose a bunch of games, right? That obviously sucks. There's no way to, like, around that. But, like, it sucks even more to just, like, become to a point where you're just turning the TV off because it's that ugly. Like, that's just no fun. Like,
no, yeah, it's happened too many times, personally. Yeah. So, yeah.
At least, like, now we know, it's like, okay, the expectations aren't NCAA tournament. I don't really think they ever were this year. But the expectations aren't top four, top six even, probably not. So now it's just like, well, let's watch a fun game of basketball. Like, and we got a couple of those, pretty much almost three in the past week and a half. They definitely are out there competing, giving it their all. Some guys are taking steps forward. Some of the younger guys are playing, which we mentioned talking to Scott. Some of those guys, I mean, we've already seen a lot of Ben, but Jalen was out there playing 20 minutes-ish a game. We've gotten to see some more Huddy. It's not perfectly clean Huddy minutes, but they are there, and there are some, which is a lot better than none. So that has been kind of fun. So we'll definitely be talking about Huddy on this one. I guess the best place to start might be at the beginning. This is probably going to be the game that we kind of talk the least about. but probably has the most noteworthy thing that has ever happened since the Final Four of a Loyola basketball game, which is some dude walked on the court with a Uber Eats, with a, what's the other one, DoorDash? DoorDash delivery?
Pretty sure it was Uber Eats. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Uber Eats. But yeah, again, it got us on the screens of ESPN and Twitter, was had our names in the trending, right? Potentially, right? But yeah, no, that game did not trend the way it started. But yes, we had that ultimate kind of, it wasn't even really a fan. To, long story short, looked like a delivery person, maybe a student, walked down the court and stood probably inches away from Phil.
But yeah, for sure, then, inches away.
And later we found out the person walked right in front of Austin, the video coordinator kind of at Loyola, and then the ref shooed him away. And then finally security came out of nowhere. I don't know where they were, and I don't think anyone knew where they were. But long story short, at what we thought was just a really bad timing of delivery and inconvenience, it was just a prank, and everyone was bummed about it. Now, granted, yes, bad security, no matter how you look at it, and really bad that he was that close to players. Yeah, just also ultimately just not something you laugh at first, and then, again, the play-by-play guys, they had a great fun. But, yeah, really tough there. But I think, honestly, the tougher thing for me, Buck, was just the second half. We at the Duquesne game had a great lead, great first half. I think a very, very productive first half. And like you said, right, we hadn't seen that really too much, and that's why, again, we say with a caveat, a great seven halves. Because, mm-hmm. we shot 51% from field goal, and we held Duquesne to 32%. Like, I love seeing that because we're able to defend and we're able to put that offense, right? So the defense leads to offense, all those great things, and it's like, oh, hey, we're up at 9 at half. We can do this, right? Like, that makes sense, and we only had 5 turnovers at half, so I was very excited. And then Buck, I don't know if you had, but I had a nightmare on the second half. It felt like I was living in a nightmare. I had to check to make sure it wasn't Halloween and it wasn't a Friday the 13th. But Buck, yeah, no, it was quite a second half, and not the second half we wanted. And I'm pretty sure not the second half the team wanted. But yeah, ultimately, again, great first half, just really, really tough second half. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd be like remiss or silly to not talk just about how awesome of a game Phil Alston had. You know, I mean, like, very much carrying us in this game for stretches, even in the second half, hit a huge three to put us up with like 6 minutes to go. And just time after time, hitting tough buckets, 5 3-pointers, which I'm almost positive is the most he's had in a Loyola uniform. Played 33 minutes, which is like definitely more than his average, and even more than some of his higher end games. But just also being physical, Duquesne has a bunch of very good guards, but none of their bigs are really able to get going, and none of those wings either. So just props to Phil for some good defense as well. And then otherwise, I mean, some contributions from different places, but this is kind of the beginning where we'll start talking about foul trouble for our bigs. Tom had fouled out with 5 fouls, only was able to play 12 minutes. Bryce had 4 fouls, only able to play 15 minutes. And then Huddy, who was able to get in the game, played the same amount of minutes as Tom did. So, you know, it just a tough, bad sort of foul issue that will, again, kind of rear its head the next couple games here. But yeah, just not enough contributions other than Phil. You know, Braden played pretty okay, efficient, only took 3 shots, only made, was 2 of 3 from 3. Those were his only shots of the day. You know, someone like him, I understand he's not going to just chuck up shots because he's a smart player, but he needs to find his shot more. 3 shots in a game for Braden is just not enough. You know, he has been able to create his own shots in a plethora of ways, so that's just not enough. But 6 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal. Unfortunately, did have 4 turnovers, and the turnovers were what killed us in the second half. Like you said, only five turnovers in the first half, but on the flip side then, 13 turnovers in the second half. The first 8 minutes of the second half were just atrocious. I believe that we didn't score in the second, or score a field goal in the second half until like 8 minutes in or something to that effect.
Definitely something to that effect, yeah.
7 minutes, yeah, 7 minutes. Tom made a layup. But, yeah, just real rough second half, especially when we played such a good first half. Duquesne is a hot shooting team. Once they start hitting one, they'll start hitting a bunch. And, you know, it just was a bad combination of Duquesne getting hot and Loyola getting cold. I thought we played pretty good defense for most of the game. I understand we let up 72 points, but did create 11 turnovers, which usually is a pretty good number. And just wasn't enough. Not enough juice down the stretch. Not enough contribution from role players. Ben did have 7 points, but had 3 turnovers as well. So not enough.
Yeah, I think just ultimately, and again, from the first 8 minutes, even you could say maybe 5 minutes of the second half, it just seemed like Drew didn't have the team ready. So I was very confused. 3 out of our 4 first possessions in the second half were all turnovers. So that's very confusing. And then again, within that first, again, with even just the first 2.5 minutes, they went on a 6-0 run. And then ultimately, again, they go on a 10-0 run, and they take the lead after 7 minutes. So, yeah, I think that's the ultimate question. It's like, we understand this team. I don't personally think, and Buck, maybe you can chime in after, it's like, I don't think this team is mature enough just with all 5 on the court to be able to just, like, try to figure it out yet. I think, like, that's the whole point of the rest of our schedule is, like, you need to, like, help kind of teach guys, like, hey, you're doing this wrong, or, like, hey, try this better, because, like, you're going to have guys like Ben, guys like Jalen Quinn, who caused all 3 of those first 4 turnovers. Jalen had 2, Ben had 1. And it's like they're so young, and it's very critical. Because if you look at the box score, even in our veteran guards, right, a lot of the turnovers this game in the second half came from our guards. Mm-hmm. Again, 4 from Braden. Now, again, Braden, you're expecting he has 5-4 assist ratio. Even Jalen, 5 assists to 3 turnovers. Like, okay. Like, again, you'd love to have 3 or less. 3 is on a high end. 2 is the perfect, right? But you don't want everyone having 2, right? Because if 10 guys have 2, that's 20 turnovers. So it's trying to find that balance. And I think ultimately, in reality, it's like with these guards, we have experienced guards and then we have young guards. And I think there's a reason to call the timeout or a reason to take advantage, especially when the game is like, when you see a 10-0 run, it just something's got to be like, hey, this is not working. Even put Sheldon Edwards. I don't know where on the bench Drew has drawn a line of like, hey, this is the group I'm working with. But like, you gotta try to find some, especially with the guards. I think that's the thing, right? There might be that pressure to make a play. And honestly, when you have a 10-0 run in front of you to start a second half, don't force the play. Like, draw up something that is something you run a lot and just try to kind of bulldog your way in. Because I think with the fact that Braden only had 3 shots just blows my mind. Like, there was no drive really too much. There were all 3s. There was no drive to the rim and fadeaway, right? They were all just 3s. So, yeah, I think that's the tough thing, and really we can go on, right? Now, Duquesne, granted, we talked about how great of a first half, right? So that offense, defense. Really, the other point to it is Duquesne shot 55% from field goal. They didn't have a great from 3-point. They were 35, though they were perfect from free throw, 6 of 6, but neither team actually went to the free throw line much at all. Loyola went 4-8 times. Duquesne did go 14 times, so they were great, though, 13 of 14. But, yeah, that second half defense also kind of fell apart. Now, again, though, they had – what is it? They had points off turnovers. They had 22 points off turnovers. Granted, we had 14. So, yeah, I think ultimately the turnovers also, of course, for us, they feed into it, but – yeah, that second half defense, we got to find a way. We'll talk about here with Dayton and even then George Mason. When our defense kind of wakes up, they really do make an impact. So, yeah, again, second half is just a different game, a different script. That first half, like we said, 7 of the last 8 halves have been great. And that first half really was just, again, I think it's just no one really delivered. And I'll make that pun, and I'll be the last of it. But, yeah, it was a tough second half. But, again, I think it was something to learn from. I think that's what we said, right? That's it's their learning opportunities right now, and that's what we have to take it as.
Hey, this is Future Buck here. Lou, have you wanted a new Ramblers jersey, but white just really isn't your color?
Yeah, I have, Buck, who is great.
Well, Lou, I have something in store for you. Mini Jerseys this week just unveiled their new gray Ramblers jerseys. They are the alternates that Loyola just got their win in against George Mason, and they are on sale now on minijerseys.com. That's mini jerseys with a Z. You can get all your favorite Rambler players from A to Z at minijerseys.com. Check them out. Now back to the episode. Yeah, a learning opportunity that was. And I think they got a fire under their tail after this one, as evident by the next two games. But yeah, this one dropped 72-58. They did have a nice long six-day break, I believe, after that, before going over to Ohio to play Dayton. Now, this game was something, I'll tell you. First of all, Dayton has got to be the hardest place to play. Their arena, UD Arena, is the always packed, the nicest one. I mean, that's kind of, we always hear that, but also, I think it's the biggest, too, or at least the most consistently full, like, bigger arena. They seat nearly, it's like 13,400, and according to
it's
the...
definitely up there, yeah.
According to ESPN, it was full for the game. Or, sorry, it was two people shy of being full, at least from what ESPN tells me. But, no, it's important context. UD was the preseason A-10 favorite. Definitely have not lived up to that hype. They were ranked in the top 25 to start the year. Have not lived up to that hype. But still very talented. Lots of incredible players, and it just has been for them a lack of efficient and consistent point guard play, or guard play in general, that has just really let them down. They have preseason A-10 player of the year, Darren Holmes, and some other really key guys. This one was fun. Went like wire to wire, just like back and forth, at least like four or five lead changes. We had the lead for a good chunk of the second half, probably more than half of the second half. Fought back from being down six at halftime to tie the game with less than a second left. Phil Alston banked in a three-pointer with less than a second left, and it was sent to OT. Unfortunately, a couple foul issues, both with Phil fouling out and Tom fouling out, which is a theme here now, just kind of left us a little thin in our five. You know, I don't know how best to say it, but like Phil is an impact player, right? He's probably a top, at least if not two, definitely top three player on our team. Tom has showed that he can be consistent. He gives effort. He does a little bit of everything, and even if he's not putting up 20 a game, has showed to be a very smart player. So when you're down those two guys, it becomes a little bit of thin pickings, you could say, and we just didn't have enough juice in the OT period, and ended up losing this game by four. It was a fun game to watch. The guys were just 100%, 110% invested, right? All the effort they had, every single ounce of it. And the guys, there are just a few guys that really showed up big. Like I mentioned, Phil had 22 points and 6 rebounds, 2 block shots. Braden had 14 points, 7 assists. Did have 4 turnovers, but, there definitely were a couple that were rough. But just when you play 43 minutes... you know, like, you're bound to have a couple turnovers, especially when you have the ball in your hands as much as Braden. Bryce Golden, 15 points, 5 rebounds, a couple big three-pointers down the stretch. One in OT as well. So, Lou, I mean, I know you're going to have a lot to say about it, but, like, what were some of your takeaways just besides just the fun, the atmosphere, the close game? Like, what else did you take away from this game against Dayton?
Yeah, this got me very excited because, again, like you mentioned, this was a top projected top team in the country. Right. And so, yes, the season maybe hasn't gone their way. They're still top of the A-10 for sure. So nothing to really say negatively. But I think the crazy thing was that, like, we found ways to score that weren't maybe, again, Phil, and we'll get to that point, Phil is just a beast. He'll find a way to score personally, I'm noticing, from anywhere. But, like, Bryce, he's feeling a lot more comfortable shooting the three. Do I like that comfortability? I don't know, right? Again, he's kind of like, I don't want to say he's, right now for me, maybe rebel kind of thing, but like he's got what, one, no years left. He can really, oh, I don't know, do whatever he wants as long as it's helping the team. But he just takes a lot of threes and he's making them though, right? So again, 10 points in that first half was kind of crazy for me. But yeah, it was just the enthusiasm and the fight. I thought, speaking of foul trouble, I thought a lot of fouls were not called on Holmes, funny enough, for a lot of moving screens, I thought. They kept running the same play. And I think that's what got, is it Kamara? Kamara really free. Now, again, Kamara scored 20 points in the first half of his 31, all from within, I don't think any were from three. I think majority of them at least were from two. So I think that was a huge case in my opinion. But yeah, overall, I think it was an exciting game. Like, look at it. Bottom line is both teams shot over 50% in the first half. Like, that's just crazy to begin with, right? Like, we were, in my opinion, a very on-par team with them. And I think that's really exciting to think about when it comes to the team that was what Dayton maybe was supposed to be. But also the fact that we did that to Dayton, because I think they are still a very, very good team for sure. And again, bottom line for me, a big summary is Philip Alston, man. I've completely not turned around my opinion, but it is just unbelievable and I think it's unathletic because he just has so much of it. It's crazy how much athleticism he has, but yeah, it's a beautiful thing to have on our team, and I think he's a raw talent that I really hope Drew and team do a proper job on really getting him to the next level, whatever that is for our team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it, but early in this game, man, it just felt like you might see 100 on both sides, you know? Like, that's, like, a scoring every time. And that really, like, Dayton's defense is excellent. Like, that hasn't been the issue for them. Their defense is top of the A-10, like, not top of the country, but, like, that is their stronger suit. And, you know, with us, you know, it's hard to say whether which way we're better or worse, but, like, I don't know. It's felt like sometimes the issue seems to be turnovers more than anything for us. So for both teams to just come out like sharp shooting and hitting stuff, hitting threes, hitting like fadeaways, hitting free throws, driving the hoop. Like it just felt like this was like back and forth and I'm making my head spin. But I think the game plan was really, and Drew said this afterwards, but to just really limit Darren Holmes. And they did that. I mean, he had 4 points. He didn't have a made field goal until overtime. Yes, he did still have 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 4 block shots. But they forced him to turn the ball over 3 times, which is a big number for a big. So they succeeded in doing that. Unfortunately, like we said, Kamara did really take advantage of that and oftentimes was found open because we were either doubling Holmes or showing showing action on him.
Yeah, I think that was a key thing. The Holmes defense was so locked in that I think we just opportunities just came for Kamara. It's so tough, but yeah.
I mean, if you want one guy to beat you, I mean, like, yeah, I agree. I think Holmes is the better player, so it's like, let's force someone else to beat us. I appreciate that thought, that mindset of just like, no, their best player is not going to beat us. Make someone else beat us. So, I mean, he did, but it kept us in the game one way or the other, right? Like, I think they probably figured that if Holmes gets going, then everyone else around him is gonna succeed too, and even though Kamara and Malachi Smith did pretty well, I thought they did pretty good. I mean, Kobe Elvis did have 13, but R.J. Blakeney did not score, who's another good player. Mzil off the bench was 3-7. So I think they did well in certain areas. And I don't think it was for a lack of like game plan. And I appreciate that. At least like they beat us playing great basketball, but we also were executing the game plan and playing very well, making shots, stuff like that. So,
I think the other point, again, we talked about it offline, of course, just between us, but you said it there and just reading off those names, in my opinion, the amount of talent they had depth-wise is just like, that's what you get when you're the top, well, that's what you need also when you're the top end of the A-10. And it makes total sense. Like, there's nothing to like, yep, that's what Dayton has right now. They have heavy talent toward the top of it, right? So it was like, for me, it was like, you have to play homes. You have to defend them. So it's natural that someone, like, again, Kamara had 71% from field goal. Like, that's just crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Now, granted, he also went up 9 for 11 times, so 81% from free throw. So he's in a pretty efficient scorer. He averages over 52%. Granted, Loyola game probably helped that for sure. But like, these are just teams that are going to have depths of players. Like, the bench is going to be very big and very strong. And I think the fact that we were able to somewhat take it to them, and we did, right? Two halves ended in a tie. And Drew and whoever, I forget, I did listen to the post game, but I forget who he said was the defense for that game. But like, that's what you got to kind of do, right? You commit to your game plan, and I think it did work for this game. Now, again, we're going to figure out that we don't know these programs all too well. We've only played them now one time this year. But over time, we're going to figure it out. And when we play Dayton, I think it'll be a different story. Again, we got the next one in 11 days, right? So I do think we'll have a different game, I hope. But, yeah, it was a very exciting game too, I think. That's the other thing, right? It's like, we're doing this to Dayton, right? Like, again, this would have been very detrimental, I think, according to Twitter, if Dayton lost this one. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of one of those things. Again, very different from George Mason, right? Because George Mason and us were even, if we're going to talk about kind of odds and everything. But, yeah, no, it's something to smile about when you're having a tough year, when you have a team that can compete against a top-level team like Dayton.
Yeah, this will definitely be something that I'll remember, quite honestly. I mean, like, you know, this season's been difficult, right? There's been some good stuff, but mostly tough days. And this is something that I'll look back on maybe, you know, a couple years from now or something. Like, oh, yeah, remember we played – how did we beat Dayton, like, 2 years – oh, yeah, that's right, 2 years ago. Like, we played them real tough and took them to overtime. So, yeah, like, these young guys might have confidence going forward. Like, man, we took them to OT at UD Arena. Like, we can beat them. And that was kind of another little point I wanted to make. I thought the freshmen played okay. They had huge responsibilities in this game. Quinn and Schweiger both played 31 minutes. Yeah, they didn't put up huge numbers, but they didn't kill you. Quinn made a huge three in the second half. Ben, I thought, played very solid defense across the board. Only combined for 4 turnovers, but, I mean, 4 turnovers in 62 minutes? You know, like, that's not going to lose you the game. And they're asked to do a lot for freshmen in this arena that is 13,000 strong. I'm hoping that, like, in years, this will pay off in years to come when they come back to UD Arena next year, because maybe we'll play them twice every year because we'll end up being rivals. But they have that confidence going into next year for a game like that. So I liked how they played.
You're absolutely right, because, again, something I can't believe we didn't mention yet, but there was a little bit of shoving, right? Tom did get called. There was a weird technical. I think Tom wasn't being vicious. I think he was just trying to be like, hey, like, we're not backing down. And I think that was the mentality. A lot of the game was like, we're not just going to roll over. Like, that's just not what we want to do, and that's not what we're going to do. And they fought. I think Tom doesn't like, ignite anything, be like, spark of, like, we're going to fight. I think he just, like, was an annoying kind of, like, person to have to go up against. And Holmes was clearly frustrated. Like, let's bottom line, the guy didn't make a single field goal until OT. So it is annoying, I think, for him to be like, this guy who is on Loyola, such a shitty team, like, how am I not able to, like, go off? And granted, he sees a teammate of his put up 20 in one half, and he might be like, why am I not doing that, right? Who knows, right? But I think it is something to be said about just the idea of – just that kind of rivalry. And again, I think it's crazy to think that our Dayton game now, just for those paying attention, got flexed to a 6 p.m. start. And then the SLU game alone also was not put on a Saturday. So these games are going to be very something much to talk about in the future of our time in the A-10. And I'm very, very excited because it just, that's what the competition should be, right? It should be very competitive, very kind of like it's no one's going to roll over, no one's going to not compete. And I think that's what this game was, and it was a very, very great game to have on the schedule. And I'm very excited for 11 days from now. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's what I want this to be a rivalry. I'll be straight up honest. I mean, like, I said it kind of a little bit before, but, like, here's what I want. UD fans love the fact that their arena is, like, the top tier and first four and, you know, like, it's beautiful. They really do crap talk every other arena. I want our Gentile to be a better home court advantage than UD Arena. And I think it's possible, man. I think that, I mean, I got to go to UD Arena. I don't think I'm going to be able to make.
We will.
But, like, we've heard Gentile get deafening loud, man. It's such a fun place to be. It's so small that it echoes, and I don't know. So that's one thing that would be really fun, I think, as, like, a talking point of the rivalry of, like, oh, UD Arena is a better home court. Oh, well, we've won four of our last four, and you've only won three of the last four at UD. So, I don't know, something like that. So
I think I don't know about loud, right? I don't know about the level of loud.
Not, like, decibels, but it's...
Yeah. Well, what I'm getting to is, like, I think the idea of, like, oh, you have this, win streak going, we'll have this one going, or yada yada.
Yeah.
Like, I would expect some type of dedication to the idea of where are you winning? Are you winning at home? Are you finding a way to win? Like, what are you doing? So kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
It's an awesome thing to have. I think in reality, SLU and Dayton are kind of those Midwest schools, but also a lot of those alumni are from Chicago, from what I've learned. Not being from Chicago, so I think that's also great where we could even take advantage of having that. So, again, I don't know if we'll be able to ever hold what Dayton has, but I think the atmosphere could get to a level of, like, yep, like, it was a packed crowd, right? And, again, I think that was a big thing we've said, and even people are writing about. The student section has shown up this year, even with this. Like, if this was 5 years ago, that doesn't exist. Like, this just doesn't. No. You have a bad season, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go finish homework even. Like, I honestly, again, me working, I had to work it. But, like, people would probably be like, I'll head to the IC and I won't worry about the game. So, yeah, it's a different culture now. Again, you pull all those words in, but it really is, right? And Dayton, Drew even said in his post-game, right, I think he talked about, like, this being, like, a competitive game and a competitive, like, rivalry, mm-hmm. maybe, and he talked about how it was packed crowd. Like, it was a Monday night, and this was a packed crowd. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, it's one of those that's very exciting. And again, overall, just again, a great effort. Wish we had the W for sure, but something to be proud of. I think that we're not really laying over and just saying, hey, take what you want from us. I think that's a great mentality to have at this stage. But I think the main thing is also look for ways to grow and learn. And I think this mm-hmm. game was an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, they competed their tails off for 45 minutes. Everyone that was mm-hmm. on that court was just, like, trying their hardest. And, you know, I'm not going to say that they haven't been doing that before, but, like, it was more evident here, I think. And just the conditions, the team, like, just kind of with everything that we've said before about Dayton, about this matchup, for them to take it to OT and really have a chance to win, like, with 2.5 minutes left, was just, like, it was excellent. I think it blew kind of what we thought out of the water. And yeah, I mean, I think we might have mentioned at the very beginning, but Phil, 22.6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Bryce had 15 and 5. Braden had 14 and 7. And then some other contributions. Marquise had 7 off the bench. I think he doesn't look 100%, but has been making some really key plays, right? He's not playing as much as he did earlier in the season, but I think that's probably on purpose. But making some key plays when it matters, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal in this game. And then Ben had six. Jamerl had six. Let's see. Tom had five. Jalen had three. And Huddy had a three-pointer. So, yeah, that's kind of all I got, man. I mean, lost 85-81 in OT. Any last thoughts on Dayton before we move on?
Just, again, great effort. And Phil, man, it truly is something very unique we're watching, I think. Even if the record might not show it, it's a very, very interesting thing. I think there's it just – this game was like – I'll really say it, and it's just something I keep forgetting to mention. It's like he blocked a shot and then ran his ass down. Pretty much got a pass that was like – Braden was trying to be smart. He was like, I'm not going to shoot it. Let me pass out of it. And he did, and it was like – Phil just got it and was like, all right, I'm going to aim at the basket. And it's like, shit, it went in. So, I don't know. The fact that he hustled down just was like, hey, yeah, I think this guy's got it in him. He's got a motor. It just, if we just fine-tune it, right, like a nice grandbaby piano, like just fine-tuning things, I think really overall just a very tremendous athlete, but also a player he could be for the program. And, again, I'm saying because he's got years left, right? It's different from Bryce and Jamel, who only are done after this year. We have a transfer in who's got years left for sure. So very exciting to talk and to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. So, yeah, moving on. The final game of the week and our win of the week came on Saturday against George Mason. 69-61 win. You know, nice. A lot of good. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Just not, I don't know if it wasn't an end-to-end win, I don't think, or like whatever that's called, but pretty darn close. Mason did get it. I think tied it up. I don't know if they ever took the lead though in the second half, but tied it up twice. But we were able to then regain the lead, give ourselves a little cushion, hit some big shots, make some big defensive plays down the stretch to give ourselves an 8-point win. One of the things that I really took away, this was just, I think, a full team win. You know, no one really, like, played outstanding, I don't think, right? Like, some good games from, like, Braden and Phil, but we've definitely seen better from them. Bryce, decent game, very limited minutes because of foul trouble. You know, Jamerl Wilson had, I think, some good shots when we really needed a bucket. Some nice little, like, mid-range floaters, I think a couple of them. So like decent game from him. I thought Ben, you know, honestly, it doesn't really show up in the stat book here, but I will say that I think Ben played the best in this game. Interesting. 8 points, 7 rebounds. He had 2 of the most important baskets of the game. The little drive, which we freaked out when it happened in the stadium, but I think he had Oduro on him, kind of late shot clock, maybe 10 seconds left. So he dragged Oduro out to 3-point line, had a hesitation dribble to get Oduro to kind of take a step out toward him, drove past him. With Oduro's length, though, was able to catch back up. Ben spinned back toward the middle of the into the paint and had a beautiful little floater or pull-up jump shot, maybe 10-foot jumper, and nailed it. It was just beautiful. Like the it looked like a veteran move. I mean, it did not look like a freshman. Then came back, I don't know if it was the next possession or maybe 2 possessions later, but hit a huge 3-pointer that we talked about earlier is the point when Gentile got the loudest, for sure, was when he put it. I think he put it us up maybe 5 at that point. It could have been 7. But I just thought he battled all game. 7 boards. Those are tough boards, man. They were not gimme, like, fall into your lap type boards. 3 assists, 2 steals. Only 1 turnover in 31 minutes. I'm thinking about stuff, but I think Ben was my player of the game. I know we don't really do that, but I just thought he was excellent. So, I mean, I know there's lots for you to talk about. You can talk about turnovers if you want to talk about any of the other 3 guys that really stood out. Marquise made some key plays down the stretch. So, take it away. What impressed you most in this win against George Mason?
Yeah, so honestly, we have to go back to St. Bonaventure's final scores. Both A-10 games that we've won, we've scored under 70, and we've kept our opponents to under 70. We won 67-55 in St. Bonnie's, and we won 69-61 here against George Mason. And it's like, I think that is a very critical thing to point out to when it comes to the A-10 teams, right? Now, I'm not saying we need to go back to some type of defensive schema or bring out the shot clock longer, right? But it seems to be a trend when we want to win in the A-10. And again, might not be a trend. We'll see with St. Joe's for sure, because I expect our defense to step up after the last St. Joe's game. So I really would like to see it after Wednesday to see a kind of a pool, right? We've talked about data points, but I think the biggest thing here is that defense. We held them to overall 32% field goal from the game, 28% from three. Now, again, George Mason is not really a three-point shooting team, so not like something crazy in my opinion to expect. But like they out-rebounded us, and that was like, oh, when you get a rebound, you're worried, right? How many offensive rebounds? They had a handful. They had 11 offensive rebounds. That's a lot compared to our only five. Again, that's over a third of their rebounds, of their rebounds. But we were able to find ways. Again, they were shooting very poorly, and I think we were trying to exploit that, right? Again, George Mason didn't turn over the ball. They turned it over more than us. Again, not many teams do in this season, but they only turned it over 10 times. So, yeah, it was like, where were we going to find that kind of edge? And honestly, our offense was decent, right? Again, we weren't that 50% from field goal. We were 42 in the game. But our defense is what I think really kept us in. When you hold a team to 26% from field goal in the second half, and even 0 of 5 from 3, that's just like, again, they were 76% from free throw. They went to the line, which we'll get to a point of how many times they went to the line. But yeah, I think that's a great point there, right? We'll segue into it. It's like, no matter which big, no matter the rotation of Saturday's game, right? Whether it be Phil, whether it be Bryce, whether it be Jalen, whether it be Wilson, whether it be Huddy, those, in my opinion, those four or five guys' names I just read off, it is critical how locked in their defense is. Because, like, I think guys like Ben are still young with defense, right? I think Tom, again, he's big and he'll take a hit, but sometimes people exploit him, so it's really tough. But, like, each of those other guys are sometimes not starters or key players, where it's like, when you can get your Bryce defense, your Jalen defense, and then your Wilson and Huddy, like, things can change. And again, I say those four names because of the atrocious calls that were made against Phil, made against Tom, and they were so bad, right? Like, it is, I can't even joke of how bad it was, right? It just was bad. Now, again, they were kind of doing it both ways. Now, again, I do think if we had, for those who are baseball fans, there's like umpire box scores. If we had our box score, I think they would lean toward George Mason favored the fouls. But yeah, they were just really bad calling ref group. I think Drew did hint to this. I'm not going to speak for Drew, and I don't know if for those A-10 committee members listening, because of course you guys listen, but Drew did hint to some of the calls he may agree or disagree, but he doesn't know what he's allowed to say, so he says he's just here so he doesn't get fined. He didn't say that. But yeah, it was a tough battle, and I think, like we mentioned, why it was going to be a trend, those guys, Phil, Bryce, Tom even, Jacob, and Wilson, because of just how big and lengthy they are, all stepped up in ways that made this game winnable. And I think it's the defensive side of the ball, right? I think the turnovers were crazy to say we only had six. We absolutely crazy. Sorry to call you out, Brayden, but you had zero, which is a very, very rare thing for me. But but yeah, overall, it was a very positive game. I don't know. I think when you look at the plus minus, if people care about that, right? Everyone should have a plus. I disagree. Huddy seems to have a minus, but personally, I think it's just because he went 1 of 4 from free throw. I think that's all. They don't hold, in my opinion, the value of his defensive minutes, which he honestly should have gotten more. But again, that's another day to argue that. But yeah, Buck, I think you and I got very excited. Our section was a little dull with fans, not as many packed, but again, the student section was great. It got rowdy. And it was another exciting game, but it was a brand of basketball that I don't think we've seen for a while. And it's like something that I think I would love to keep continuing this way of just like defensive games. They're not sexy, right? They're not 81 points like we did against Dayton, But hey, 67 points and 69 points, if they're going to get us the wins, I'll take it. I really don't care. I'd rather have a W at the end of the day than, oh, we just had 80 points and 13 threes. Like, I really don't, and I don't think Drew or the guys do. So I think that's what this game also can signify, is that there's a really, really interesting mentality.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing we got, you talked about it, but I'm going to talk about it too, because I think it was just that damn good, was the amount of turnovers. You know, it's crazy, like, the one that sticks in my head is unfortunately the throwaway that Ben had, but, like, late in the game. But, and Marquise made an incredible play to get the ball right back, so it kind of, you know, nullifies it. Yeah, it just, like, you know, that was pretty, like, I know you're saying it's not sexy because we weren't scoring the ball a bunch, but it was, like, visually, what's the word, like, aesthetically good to watch, right? It, other than the fouls, our actual offense and defensive effort was impressive. Like you said, fouls sucked, man. It wasn't, that part was so aggravating, especially because I think it was both ways. I think it was frustrating. And we leaned over three or four times where there were fouls called on George Mason, and we were like, man, that's not a foul. And, you know, probably far more than that. And we weren't as quiet when it happened, but when Loyola would get called for a foul, I'm just like, there's no dang way that that's a foul. It just, because they started blowing the whistle, they had to continue blowing the whistle. That's all it was.
Yep, 100%. Great point. Yeah.
It's not a way to, because it wasn't really reffed like that in the first half either. You know, I think it was something like there was 12 or 13 fouls in the first half, but there was over 20 fouls called in the second half. So that part was frustrating.
For both teams, even. Yeah, they called over 20 fouls for both teams, which is just ridiculous.
Just in the second half, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, the actual, like, play of basketball, I thought there was some good stuff in there. Like I said, Ben played great. I thought there were some positives from Jamero Wilson, looking for him. I think he'll have a game here soon where he hits three or four threes. I think he's due. He's that kind of shooter. He's starting to find a shot from other places on the court. I really think he's due for a big game from three. They just got to find those shots for him. But I thought Marquise played some really good minutes in crunch time. Other than that one steal, he also had the and one. Not really hunting for his own shot, but has gotten to the free throw line, 4 or 5 from the free throw line. We'll take that every day of the week. 8 points, 4 assists, which would be a big number. Some really pretty ones too. I'm trying to remember who, if it was Tom or maybe it was Bryce Golden, but he had one really pretty assist. I remember being like, dang, that was nice. Yeah, good game from Phil, right? Like we said earlier, maybe not, definitely not his best game. I mean, we've seen some really excellent ones, but we know that 4 for 12 from field goal could very easily be 8 for 12, just with his knack for scoring the basketball. I don't think he was out of control as much as we've seen him. You know, a lot of times, like, there'll be 2 or 3 times in a game where we'll lean over and be like, hey, man, like, just slow it down. I really don't think I saw that much, maybe, like, but one time.
It wasn't like that. I think, to your point, I think one of the biggest things was, I think he was trying to do things that would lead to a foul, and because of just honestly how bad they were, they might not have been calling it as much. But I think also, to your point, he just play, and regardless if you get the foul drawn or not. So yeah, but tonight I think Saturday wasn't crazy. It was just like, I felt like he was trying to get the foul drawn a lot more. Which is it's a great move to try, but I think he's also just a great scorer where he can try on his own maybe.
Here's the one thing I remember I wanted to say. Phil Alston played excellent in foul trouble. I'm almost positive.
Didn't he foul out, right? No.
He must have played like 6 or 8 minutes with like 3 fouls. I think he picked up foul number 3 with 16:13 left in the second half. And usually that means you're coming out, and you're coming out for at least probably like 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I think he came out for a minute or two, but then went back in, did not pick up another foul. And he's the type of guy that you just need in there because he's going to draw defenses. And he just gives you so many more options. He's a huge option on the fast break. And, you know, yeah, he might end up picking up another foul, which is the risk you're going to take, but could also make a huge defensive play or block shot or a steal or something. So I really love that move, especially at this point in the season where it's like, hey, what do you got to lose? And also, Phil, if you are hoping to, you know, keep playing next, even just keep playing next year or go on to the next level, whatever it might be in the future, you need to figure out how to do this. And so I think it was a good learning lesson for both Phil and for the staff to be like, hey, we can trust you. If you do pick up a third foul early in the second half, like, we can still trust you to send you out there, and we know you're not going to just, like, make a stupid fourth foul. So I love absolutely that.
Yeah, no, I think a crazy thing is I think you and I saw Huddy got two or three fouls within 4 minutes, which I feel
it
like...
It wasn't even that. It was like 2.5 or something.
Yeah, and which is the stupidest thing. They were absolutely horrendous calls on the poor kid. I think maybe one was definitely a foul I could see, but definitely not three. But yeah, no, they were very bad calls. And it was funny because I joked, I think Huddy was making the ultimate sacrifice to get the fouls called on him. And lure those fouls away from Phil. But again, I think this was ultimately a team effort, right? I don't think there's a single person that, I think coming from the Dayton game, right, obviously Phil dominated, right? But I think, again, three guys had 13 points. That's very, very consistent of a team effort game, right? And then also guys, I think, also just – not turning the ball over, right? That was a consensus with the team. So, yeah, in my eyes, it could have been five turnovers. Again, that was a very tough one. But, yeah, great, great overall effort. Again, another exciting game, but even more exciting with a win for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really have too much specifically left on the game. I was kind of thinking about talking a little bit, just a few minutes here about, like, the end of the season. But if you have anything else about the George Mason game, feel free.
No, it made me smile, really. That was just the thing, right? Again, coming off the Dayton game. And then, again, it'd been a long 6 days prior to that with the horrendous Duquesne game. So, yeah, very exciting game to talk about. And that's really what it was. And then I think it led into this. Really, I think it did, right? I think the Dayton game led into this for sure. And, again, to win in front of your home crowd again is nice. So, absolutely excited for what's coming Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely a good win. Final score is 69-61. Second time we face George Mason this season. It's the first time we've completed our little two-game series. Yeah. So that's cool. But yeah, just kind of looking forward. One of the things I wanted to mention here, you know, our schedule isn't easy per se the rest of the way out, right? I mean, we're at the bottom of the A-10, so it's not like we have someone to face that we know we're going to win or anything like that. But I mean, there's some room for at least a little bit of hope, right? Like a little bit of hope in that we will continue to get better and potentially be competitive come A-10 tournament. We do have four home games left. Those are St. Joe's, Dayton, Fordham, and Rhode Island. We definitely have to take care of business against St. Joe's and Rhodey, who are the weaker of those four opponents. And, you know, if we can grab a win against either Fordham or Dayton, I mean, I know this is asking a lot of a team that's 2-8 in conference right now, but if there are to happen, I think this is the way it might go down. Grabbing three of our last four at home is going to be crucial. And then the road games, you know, honestly, besides the game at SLU, we are at Richmond, who is 5-6 in conference. We're at UMass, who's 4-7 in conference, and we're at LaSalle, who's 4-6 in conference. So, like, those are winnable games. You know, even if we get two of those road games, I think that would be some room for happiness. I know that's asking a lot. We haven't won an A-10 road game, but I think if it is going to happen, we could see two of those against either Richmond, UMass, or LaSalle. We've played Dayton real tough, right? We beat Bonnies, who look like they could be a double bye team.
They do, which is crazy. I did follow that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
They're right at the top there. We'll get a chance against Fordham at home, which I think is the better place to play them. I'm not trying to tell you all that, like, oh man, like, look, we could win it all, but I do think that there is a path where if we start looking, playing more consistent and getting at least a couple wins on the road, that we might go into the A-10 tournament with some good vibes, and anything can happen when you get there. So I feel like we're figuring out our rotations a little bit better. Some of the guys who should have been playing this well all along have started to really find their groove. There's still some stuff. I would like to see Tom get back into the swing of things. He's really had some foul issues. I think probably utmost, like, Marquise has to get healthy. I think he's healthy enough, but it's still, he's not 100%. I think also love to see Braden have a couple hot shooting games here at some point. We all know he's capable of hitting 4 or 5 threes in a game, and I think it's just like, I think it's time for that sort of performance again too. So that's just a couple things I'm thinking about. Lou, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, or any games in particular that you're really looking forward to coming up. Just thinking about A-10 tournament time.
Really, honestly, for me, it's going to be interesting. The final two games of the year, I think, are going to be the really interesting ones, how we finish the season, when our final home game and our final game away. Rhode Island, LaSalle, teams that are also trending toward the bottom. Again, we're the bottom of the barrel, so I can't say, hey, we have a chance. We don't know. Also, teams we haven't played yet, and mm-hmm. the only time we'll play them. So I think that's to an advantage and disadvantage for both teams, because we haven't played Rhode Island yet. We won't play Rhode Island until that game, and then we won't play LaSalle until that game, right? So same with Fordham. I think Fordham also could easily be tossed in. I think those three games, if we really had to highlight it, are ones I'm interested and excited for. And then again, the surprise ones could be Dayton and SLU, right? I think we played SLU and Dayton very well. SLU at least for our half. Not for the second half, but Dayton again for two halves for sure. So, again, overall excited. Again, find ways to win if we can. I think if we can scrape out a few more wins, I'd like to say I could see us getting over 10 wins. Though, again, I think I got to just be happy with maybe one more win in A-10 and we could talk about it. But like you said, though, when it comes to conference tournament time, things change, right? Look at us last year, up there fighting for first, and then we dropped, what, to fourth? And things can drastically change and make a team really different when it comes to conference play, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. I'm kind of trying to go through these, like, bottom 4 or 5 teams to see if anyone has a particularly tough end of the season. I'm just kind of going to LaSalle now. But, nothing too crazy. It seems like most teams have two difficult games left, two of those top 4 teams. We do stuff, SLU and Dayton. A couple of teams have, like, Bonnies and Dayton. A couple of them, only one had VCU left on their schedule, which is interesting. I think VCU actually has a tough, like, end of the year here. So it's going to just be more chaos across the A-10. But, I think anything could happen here. And it just feels like guys are having more fun out there, which is just a blast to watch. And these guys are just going to keep competing until that final whistle sounds. And, it's been, after a real rough stretch to the middle of the season, for a lot of different reasons, I think that they've kind of come out the other side here, and it might be a little bit of like, man, we got nothing to lose. It might be a little bit more of like comfortability in their roles. It might be the unending support that we give them when they come home to Gentile, but it feels like a little bit of a different vibe around the team. So enjoy that while you can. Let's hope for some more close games. Let's hope for some more competitive games so that these guys can get even more prep in those end-of-the-game situations that are just so key and so far and few between. So maybe if it comes time in tournament time, that they're ready for that and might pull something out and surprise some people. So not too much other news. I've been following the women's team. There's
not a whole lot going on there. You know, some injuries, which is unfortunate. This is kind of the Rambler roundup portion of the pod, but not like a few injuries, which is unfortunate. It did look like the Nolan twins are both going through some health issues. Emma Nolan in particular seems to have broken her thumb, but you know, I don't want to make any decisions or break any news here or anything, but did say on her Instagram that it looked like she was going to be coming back for next season, so that could be good for the continuity of the team. If you're looking to watch some young players just really like take the time, the playing time that they're getting, watch these women play. Kira Chivers is just a blast to watch. She's also one of the top freshmen in the country when it comes to assist to turnover ratio. And now, just last game, true freshman Mallory Ramage started for the first time and put up like 11-4 or 11-5. And like she just can score from anywhere on the court. So if you're watching, watch for those two. Those are some of the Ramblers you'll probably see for years to come. So I say it all the time, but come out and support that team. Coach Guth is a blast to watch on the sidelines. She's just entertaining. So, yeah, I don't know. Not too much else. Lou, any thoughts from you before we wrap up here?
Just keep coming to games. I know at least Wednesday is going to be tough, and a few on the week nights, they're going to be 8 p.m. starts. So if you can find your way out, especially the students, please come because it's exciting, and I think the team also feeds off it. So. Yeah, it's definitely a thing to adjust to. They're not the consistent 7 p.m. on a Tuesday. It's going to be different when you join the bigger conferences.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, yeah, thank you all for listening. We're hoping we can have a streak here, get two in a row, and we'll take it from there. So thanks for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blurs!